97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're after it. I just heard the bite from Kamala again from 2019, talking to some gun-grabbing group that she and a reporter who asked her about it, and she's like, yeah, there's millions of AR-15s in the country, and the only answer is a buyback. We have to have a, but we have to buy them back. Well, guess what, Cammy? You didn't sell it to me in the first place. And the Second Amendment says I have a right to own it. So good luck with that. This is what you're facing in America right now. You're also facing a court system with judges who don't like the Second Amendment. They don't like it at all. And other than the Supreme Court, many of them fight against it all the time. In other words, a local court, I shouldn't say local, an appeals court, recently struck down the Second Amendment Preservation Act, ruled that it's unconstitutional, claiming that it nullified federal gun law. I don't agree with that at all. And we've got former Missouri Representative Jared Taylor on the phone this morning, who used to serve in Missouri's 139th district. And we reached out to him because he's one of the ones that helped craft this to begin with. Jared, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. So,
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. The federal judge struck down what I believe it's the Missouri Independent quoted as a controversial Missouri law that penalizes police for enforcing federal gun laws. Well, that's what SAPA was designed to do, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why the Biden DOJ sued us, because even they claim in their court filings that it prohibited them from working with Missouri law enforcement. That's exactly what we designed it to do. It was doing exactly what we wanted.
Well, that's the whole thing. I'd love to maybe get you to comment on that a little bit. As I understood SAPA, the point was, if under Joe Biden administration, or heaven forbid, a Kamala Harris administration, she decides to come into the state of Missouri and force some sort of a gun buyback program, the point is, local law enforcement in Missouri is not going to be able to participate in that. They're not federal law enforcement officers. How can the federal government force them to take part in that?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we have a longstanding decision by the court, this principle known as anti-commandeering, and the courts have upheld that numerous times, saying that states cannot be commandeered or forced to enforce federal law. And Missourians rightfully so believe in our Second Amendment. And so this ruling by this appeals court, this three panel judge, it wasn't surprising. We were prepared for you know, that decision. And so we have a couple options now. We could either go before the full 10th, which would be a 10-panel judge, I'm sorry, 8th, or we could go straight to the Supreme Court. And so that's kind of what we're weighing our options right now. I think in the next couple weeks you'll see a decision come out of the Attorney General's office, who Missouri Firearms Coalition has been working one-on-one with and crafting, like, how we're going to move forward. And so, you know, I'd say definitely be looking forward to that. This isn't the end of the battle for the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Good, because we had the Attorney General on last week here, and he was talking about the fact that this is not a Second Amendment issue. It's a Tenth Amendment issue, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah, because, again, anti-commandeering, we don't want the feds coming in telling Missouri law enforcement to, hey, you know what? I mean, we've got a presidential candidate in Kamala, who's telling us that if the Congress doesn't act within the first, I think, 90 days is what she gave him, or something like that, that she's going to come in with an executive order banning AR-15s. Not just like we're going to stop selling them, or, you know, which would be atrocious as it is. But she wants to completely ban them and have them removed from the country. I don't know about you, but I don't want Missouri law enforcement participating in something like that. One, for their safety, but two, just because that's a bad idea. You know, it's the most popular weapon in the United States, and she's wanting to get rid of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I've got a number of friends who are police chiefs. What is that, Carl? Sorry, you scared me. A number of friends who are police chiefs, and I've talked to them about this, and a lot of them were upset over SAPA when it first passed, because they were concerned that, you know, if they had officers who were on loan to some federal department, they were going to have to stop doing that, and they were all worried about being fined $50,000 per incident or whatever the fine was that was thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said at the time, that's not what the law is about. It's not about coming after your department because one of your officers happens to be on loan to, you name the DEA or whatever the federal agency happens to be. This is about making sure that your department is not encroaching on the Second Amendment rights of Missouri citizens. Can you think of a single incident, Jared, where a department was fined or this law was used like that since it's been in effect?
No. So, in fact, I think that I know of at least one lawsuit that was brought against a department, and the judge threw it out because it didn't apply. The guy was a previous convicted felon, and there are exemptions in the law that allow law enforcement to still work with their federal partners on drug cases, on human trafficking, on bank robberies, like all murder cases. So all of these exemptions exist in the law to allow them to continue to work with them. And you're right, there was a knee-jerk reaction from law enforcement at the beginning when SAPA first passed because they didn't understand it. They didn't know what it did. We heard from a ton of law enforcement, men and women on the street who are like, oh, we love this. This is exactly what we want. I mean, those guys are Second Amendment, you know, those men and women are Second Amendment advocates. They've got exact same things that we have at home for their personal defense as well. And so, you know, they pulled out of those task forces. And then once they started realizing, oh, this isn't doing what we thought it was going to do, or the hype about what it was going to do, the left was claiming that it was going to do, and they started working with their federal partners again, and it really wasn't that big of a deal, and it wasn't that big of a change until we have a president who's going to go after an AR-15 or a bump stock ban or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's true, and we're waiting for it because Kamala Harris has not changed her stripes, despite what she's leading us to believe right now.
No, she can avoid the media all she wants, but we've got enough, of her sound clips from the last couple years to use against her, especially on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, very true. Well, I tell you what, Jared Taylor, we appreciate your time, and please keep us updated for the Missouri Firearms Coalition and what they're doing about this. We appreciate it.
Will do. Thank you.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Thank you for giving us some time today.
Get more at 971talk.com.